Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio Symphony's celebrating its 75th anniversary this Saturday evening, and it starts a season of celebration, and they'll be celebrating the symphony's first performance held on June 12th, 1939. We want to hear about your symphony memories. Call in, tell us how you were moved at a performance of the San Antonio Symphony, either if you were a wee lad, a child, either a grown-up, maybe you proposed at a symphony. We want to hear about it. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And you can also email us at thesource@tpr.org. And we're joined this half hour by Sebastian Lang Lessing. He's the San Antonio Symphony Music Director and Conductor. And we have Jim Berg, a board member of the Symphony, unofficial historian at the San Antonio Symphony. And he's also a founding director of KPAC, our sister station, our classical music station that we have here, part of Texas Public Radio. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you very much for having us.
So, Sebastian, tell me about what's going to happen on this Saturday. What's on the program?
So what's on the program is actually we're doing a replica of the first program that has ever been done by the San Antonio Symphony. That was done in the Sunken Gardens. So this time we use it as a farewell to the Majestic, which we are going to leave with this concert, basically, and before we move into the Tauben. The only difference that is that Max Reiter, the founder of the orchestra, had Charles Kuhlman, a very famous American tenor, and as he wasn't available, as you might imagine, we were pitching another American superstar, and found Josh Bell being willing and able to come over and do this with us. So we replaced the arias by the Sibelius Violin Concerto, but all the rest of the program is exactly what Max Reiter did 75 years ago, which I found immensely challenging because he comes with the core repertoire of German music, Wagner and Weber, and finishes with Bolero. Basically to a scratch band, which was just founded. There was no tradition that he could rely on and plays the most daunting and difficult pieces. He had the guts to do it. I mean, kudos for that. But it's an extremely challenging and wonderful program.
Having Josh Bell, any occasion to bring Josh Bell is an opportunity to celebrate because he is such a superstar and an established musician and performer.
Yeah, I mean, he's a wonderful performer, and as I said, I mean, you can count on your hands the superstars they are, and Josh Bell is definitely one of them. Because he's such an intense, deep, and honest musician, and a wonderful violinist, there is a strong connection. I think we will talk about it, about the whole history and 39 and Josh's violin, and the founding of the San Antonio Symphony, which was founded by a German-Italian Jew immigrating from Italy, leaving within 24 hours as the Gestapo knocked on his door, and he had to resign his contract in Milano, and he was 2 hours later he was out of the country. He did not hesitate, arrived in New York, talked to several people. What should I do? Because New York was filled with people like this of immense talent, and had a reference to Steinway. First, he went to Boosey & Hawkes, music publisher, went to Steinway, and from a very pragmatic point of view, they said, look, we sell more pianos in Texas than anywhere else in the country. There must be an interest in music, so why don't you go to Texas? And that's how it all started.
Jim Berg, you're a historian of the San Antonio Symphony. What was that first performance like?
Hot, because it was June. And this is June right now. So go outside, and you're a musician. You're going to tuck a violin underneath your chin and play for an hour and a half probably or so.
It was, at least 2 hours, I mean, with the intermission and everything.
So I would say in the Sunken Gardens, it was perhaps a little sweaty. But apparently enough of a crowd came that in November, I believe November is the first program I saw. They started a season, and there it was ready to go. Hats off to them.
Professional musicians, or was it like a community orchestra?
No. It was, I think, actually from the very beginning. That first concert had still some high-level amateurs. One of them is who just recently died, Bill Sinkin. Some people might know, who founded Solar Energy.
Tremendous citizen of San Antonio.
I met Bill.
At 101.
He played at that very concert in the violin section. Max Reiter brought people from all over the country. Not quite a number of people from the East Coast coming down for this, and he recruited people.
He may have brought some of those from Waco, where he initially was hired at Baylor to improve their musicianship.
Yeah.
And he may have hauled them down Interstate 35 that hadn't been built yet.
Exactly. And I mean, a lot of people drove up to that concert in Waco. Actually, there's also a little novel essay called Bus Stop in Waco, where all this happened. Let's not forget, we are in 1939. You know, the Big Depression hit America like nothing. It was a huge impact on the economy here, and a lot of buildings that have been built downtown were never actually filled with life because the money was gone. The World War II was about to start, and I think just very few ignorant people would not see that this is going to happen.
Poland was invaded in September of 39.
In September, Bohemia was already invaded, so it was just a matter of time.
Right.
Now these people here raise the money to found a symphony, which I find extremely brave, extremely fantastic to say now we need music.
So now we're talking about 75 years after that. So was it a continuous operation, or were there gaps in it?
We don't know of any gaps or any difficulties in the history of the San Antonio Symphony, do we?
Well, other than I think there was a dark year because of a bankruptcy of the symphony.
Did I hear bankruptcy? I didn't hear it.
No.
Yeah, he didn't say it. You know,
there was a resurrection of the symphony, and the symphony has never been in a brighter spot than it is today.
You're absolutely right.
You can't appreciate the peaks until you've been in the valleys.
But real quickly, so this is about the Majestic Theater also. This has been a temporary home for the symphony for a while, and now
25 years.
Good. Yeah,
it was. I think we went into the Majestic on our 50th anniversary, so 25 years ago.
And so soon now, that is that partnership. Not you're moving on to a new one.
So every 25 years, we move home. We'd be going back where we belong to. I mean, we're going back to the roots. Max Reiter performed at the Municipal Auditorium. So the resurrection is happening, and we go where everything started.
Plus, as you announced at last concert, there will be occasions in the ensuing year where the symphony is going to play against movie theater or cinema type.
Yeah, we do what's appropriate for the Majestic. We play for silent movies, but not for silent movies, but we play live orchestra to
right.
great movies.
There'll be opportunities to come back to the Majestic.
Yeah.
But
yes.
Going to the Tobin, when we come back from this break, take a quick one-minute break, we're going to bring in Mike Frescher. He is the CEO and president of the Tobin Center for the Performing Arts. We're going to talk to him about what's the next phase for the San Antonio Symphony. I also want to talk about some of these other venues that the symphony's played at over the years, Lila Cockrell. I want to hear about memories. And listeners, if you're out there, you have a great, fantastic memory of going to the symphony. Maybe you went as you were a school kid, you got off the bus, you got to see the symphony, you were so wowed by it. If we want to hear from you, give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can email us at thesource@tpr.org. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX, and this Saturday is going to be a very special performance of the San Antonio Symphony. They're kicking off their 75th year anniversary celebration. It's a historic opportunity. It's a time to reconnect with the symphony. We're joined in the studio with Sebastian Lang-Lessing, the San Antonio Symphony Music Director and Conductor, Jim Berg. He's the board member of the Symphony, unofficial historian for the San Antonio Symphony, a founding director of KPAC, which is our sister station, and which plays classical music. And if you haven't discovered KPAC, you're missing something. And also now we're joined with Mike Frescher. He is the CEO and president of the Tobin Center for the Performing Arts, which is going to be the new permanent home for the San Antonio Symphony, Mike.
And we're real excited about that.
So what people may not get it because they haven't experienced it, but what's the difference between experiencing the symphony at the Majestic versus what's it going to be like at the Tobin, Sebastian?
Well, The Tobin is built to be a concert hall that works also as an opera venue.
Yes, for unamplified music.
Unamplified music. That's the primary idea. That's the reason for the size of the hall, which is very much the tradition of the European houses in the 19th century. You know, now acousticians go back to what worked and don't try to create things that don't work, like shapes that in the round, or, you know, everything has been done in the 80s and were big failures. So we learn from the history, and it's going to be a rich, much warmer acoustic. You're going to hear a lot of detail, and yet you feel like the music is around you. You're part of it. Like you have this feeling in the big concert halls in Europe, if it's a Concertgebouw or Musikverein and these buildings. And that's what we're aiming for. So it'll be a completely different experience.
You'll feel the music on your skin.
On your skin, because the whole venue is vibrating. You know, it's constructed like a resonance case. The main material is going to be wood. And that's the main reflective material and the main resonance material in the hall. There won't be carpets and big velvety things that absorb sound. There will be surfaces that reflect sound and project it. And so it's going to be rich and warm.
It's the state of the art. It is just the way it is supposed to be. So many people may remember going to the old Majestic, Municipal Auditorium. And remember this huge, cavernous, great for graduations.
It sat 5,000 people.
Yeah, but it was not good for...
Not 1,750.
Not good for, you know, I saw Bruce Springsteen there, you know, a long time ago. But it is definitely not as the Municipal Auditorium was not cut out for this. But basically, they've created a theater inside the auditorium, right?
Well, we're basically now where we had one very cavernous hall, we have two. We have a 1,750-seat performance hall and about a 350-seat studio theater. So in that same footprint, we have two world-class venues. This will be the most acoustically advanced building, multi-purpose building of this type in the country when we open.
Multi-purpose and how?
Well, to Sebastian's point, it's amplified music, non-amplified music, galas. With our flooring system, we're able to go to a flat floor and do galas. And,
right, it's supposed to be like an amazing, like robotic floor that like a transformer type of a thing.
And anybody can see it on TobinCenter.org if they'd like to go see a video of that floor. It's posted up there now. So we can go from a orchestra configuration of a theater to a flat floor gala or rock show in 23 minutes.
And just to give you an idea, in 86, I assembled some people from the San Antonio Symphony Board in the wake of a PBS broadcast of the Nashville New Theater that had been built, the Schimmerhorn, and showed them the flat floor that was there. And it's light years away from what we have now in San Antonio. And I started preaching, we've got to build a flat floor. It's going to make us multi-purpose and world-class. And enough people heard it, and boom, we're going to do it.
So over the years, Jim, the symphony has performed at places like the Lila Cockrell. It was not very good.
It was an auditorium.
Yeah.
Not a music hall.
Made for Hemisphere, but not really good for...
Exactly.
For experiencing the music. And then, you know, the Majestic, and it kind of like floated around. What does it mean for the symphony finally to have that permanent home, that the Tobin is where they're going to be, and it's going to have their imprint on it?
People who are hearing us today will be able to know the answer to that, because they're going to come out after the first intermission, and if they've never been in a music hall before, their eyes are going to be wide open, and they're going to be saying to one another, wow, wow. I had no idea what we weren't missing. Nashville took their audience to Carnegie Hall in order to convince Nashville's audience we should build the Schimmerhorn. And they came out and they said, wow, now we know what we're missing. We must build Schimmerhorn.
So in the first season, that's going to be what, next year at the Tobin? People may come out. They want to experience it. The novelty will be going to see the symphony at the Tobin, but then they're going to experience the symphony in a whole new way, and you think they'll become season ticket holders and get a whole new audience, a revolution of new excitement of classical music in San Antonio, Sebastian.
I'm convinced that this is going to happen. because it's a new experience, and the whole, I think it also the whole aspect of going to the Tobin will be so much more appealing because, you know, we have good food, good wine served. I mean, the whole aspect, it's very grand. Even if you see now the staircase that lead up to the entrance, it's going to be a very grand feeling. You feel just, you feel good. It's not like you're in a squashed little street and you try to get out of the car as quick as possible. You know, you have this vast open space in front, the river in the back. You can actually even take the taxi river going up. So it's more, even more of a social event with all the bars that are going to be around, and it will revitalize that part of town immensely. It's a whole package, and then we have a screen outside where you can watch shows and participate without being inside. And so it's a whole new ball game for us. But what really will be the most significant difference is that you'll be part of the music. And it's an intimate space with 1,750 places on American standards, very normal and on European standards. But that means we really experience music from a different way, in a different way.
So, Mike, tell me more about how, because that part of downtown really hasn't seen a lot of development. Are you seeing people deciding to invest in that part of town around you? Because they're...
I think it's still slow. I think people are taking a look and see. And a wait and see to see what we do and how many people we bring through the building. But I will tell you that in the first 299 days that we're open, we have 370 uses of the building. So we're going to be busy, and we're going to be real busy.
So anybody with a food truck right nearby is probably going to do some good business, you think?
Sure, if they stay a block away, that would be great.
And, you know, the thing is, the way that we now today look at the Pearl, think of what we thought about the Pearl 5 or 6 years ago. We couldn't conceive of how popular a place that was going to be. We couldn't conceive of the Culinary Institute spawning restaurants and chefs, et cetera, that, and now the apartment growth that's occurring on Broadway. I think, Mike, as well, the same thing is going to occur at Tobin. We don't know how good the Tobin's going to be. It's going to morph in its own way into our own little performing arts center, and we are going to look back in 5 years and say, can't believe we didn't have it.
And it's kind of filling that gap between the Pearl and Sama and downtown. Sure. There is that gap there, and that it could spur that development. But what about parking? Have y'all come up with that parking solution yet?
We do. We're in the closing pieces of putting together the final parking plan for this coming season, which starts September 4th. We are going to have plenty of parking locally for all our events at night and on the weekends. We are in the process of working with the city and county officials to get a parking garage finalized for the daytime events. That's about a half a block from our front door that we'll be building probably over the next 10 months.
So there will be a construction project that will of a brand new parking garage half a block away from the front door?
That's correct.
And where's that parking lot? Where's it going to be?
It's between Taylor and 4th Street.
Really, across the street.
It's about half a block from our front door.
Because, you know, as far as disclosure goes, I was on the county committee that was site selection, trying to find out where we were going to put a new performing arts center. And we said, yes, we'd put it here at the municipal auditorium. And parking, a turkey parking solution, we figured had to be part of the package. And it looks like that you have found one.
Yeah, it's a later part of the package. We would love to have that building and the garage open for September of this year. That's just not going to happen. But there is ample parking, and we have a pretty robust parking plan in place that we'll be rolling out over the next 30 days.
So back to the very beginning of the San Antonio Symphony 75 years ago, a fascinating story about the conductor and bringing people together. How is that going to be conveyed to the people on Saturday when they come to experience it?
Well, let me just say, I wrote an article for Rivard Report, and I would encourage people to go listen or go read that story about Huberman's violin that's coming here, because it's a 300-year-old instrument that's worth that Bell bought for $4 million. It had been stolen twice in the 20th century. The first time, overnight, just about, and the Viennese mafia recovered it for Mr. Huberman. The second time it was taken from Huberman in his dressing room in Carnegie, he did not live to see it recovered. It was gone for 50 years and covered with shoe polish and had to be cleaned and brought back into shape. It's one of the really Stradivarius made 500 or so violins, but this is one of the best of the best with one of the best violinists in the world today, certainly the equivalent of Mr. Huberman.
And Sebastian, will there be any, I don't know, not remorse, but some nostalgia leaving the Majestic?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, the Majestic is a beautiful building. It's a very iconic building for San Antonio, and we love this building.
But this is one of the last chances you can see the San Antonio Symphony at the Majestic.
Exactly. If you love the Majestic, if you love the San Antonio Symphony, if you have a feel for history, you need to come. And we follow this up with a wonderful reception at the St. Anthony's.
So this is going to be quite the night. A historic night for San Antonio art and culture.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I appreciate both for all our guests joining us. Sebastian Lang Lessing, San Antonio Symphony Music Director. Jim Berg, board member of the Symphony, unofficial historian for the San Antonio Symphony, founding director of KPAC.
And KSTX. Thank you very much.
And KSTX. Thank you so much. That's why I have a job, because you did that many years ago. And Mike Frescher, he's the CEO and president of the Tobin Center. This is The Source on KSTX. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.